And a lot of people missing this morning, as I can see. So we're starting a new series. And I thought I'd tell you about myself. I was in business prior to becoming full-time here. And I worked as an accountant, finance controller, finance director. And I was an analyst. So my job was to put lots of figures together to present to the board and management, for example. I didn't just say £1 million sales, £900,000 cost, £100,000 profit. I would do schedules breaking down the sales, say, by product group, or right down to products, or by area, or by customer type, or salesman, and hand out lots of sheets. Then the costs would be with the variance analysis, comparing budget to the costs and why we'd overspent and why we'd underspent. Then I'd do production statistics, how bad the production were doing according to me, and I'd do the figures, what they produce, efficiencies, labour efficiencies, and market analysis. And of course, my job was to help the company understand where they're at. And I love doing figures. For those, I can remember telephone numbers, bank accounts, but can I remember people's names? No. If you could put a number on you, I may. I can remember accounts going back 30 years and profitability statements and sitting in board meetings doing stock counts. It was so exciting. Anyway, okay. But what's interesting is my job was to help you, my company, understand what they were doing. And of course, it's about understanding this new series over the next 6 weeks, because the best person to tell you about me is me, of course. My bio says, if you want to go online and read it, I'm 5'8", come 5'10", depending on the wind and the heel of the shoe. I've got a pleasant demeanour, fairly good looking. I don't dye my hair like some do around. I'm quiet. I don't like the sound of my own voice or overspeak. I've got a lively personality, loved by most people, accepted. You may have a different interpretation on me. Let me just say you are wrong. If you want more details, speak to Louise afterwards or send her an email. But of course, we print our bios, and then, you know, if we go for a job, we've got to write a CV, a curriculum vitae, and discuss in bullet points all that we've done. And I was told some years ago, your CV should be no more than 2 pages. The problem is, I had such a successful career. Mine was 4 pages. And it got longer. And of course, if I was to say this morning, how would you describe God? Without using the Bible. Well, you've stopped laughing now, haven't you? Getting serious. And it's quite difficult how to describe God, who he is. So what's clear in the Bible is God takes the time to describe himself. So over these next 6 weeks, we're going to look at the Lord is my. And my one to start with, because I didn't want to pause the surprise, is the Lord is my shepherd. Now, of course, you know where that's going to come from. It's from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's the most famous part of the Bible. When I was about 1920, I had my first external speaking engagement. I was asked to speak at the Golding Old People Home. I think the thought was, they'd all be asleep, and if I got it wrong, it wouldn't make any difference. And so I rang a friend of mine, Jeff Carr, an evangelist. I said, Jeff, I've got to go speak at an old people home. What should I speak on? He said, okay, do Psalm 23 and read it in the authorised version. And he said, I'll guarantee, and as you read it, the Lord will respond back by reciting this psalm as you say it. So I did as he said, did the Psalm 23 in the authorised version, did the Lord's Prayer in the authorised version, and they all recited it back. I go to Ty Green once a month, old people's home, and I can do the same thing. They know the Lord's Prayer, they know these things, and yet today, children don't even know who Jesus is. So in the last 100 years, from people learning about the Bible, learning that the Lord is their shepherd, to generations now who have no idea who God is. And it's quite a change, a difference in what's been going on. So we're going to look at some of the Lord is my and Lord is my shepherd. And of course, being townies, we've no idea about keeping sheep. Are there any farmers here? Thank goodness for that. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. It means I can talk and you can't tell me that I'm wrong. And sheep in the Far East were quite one of the main staples of farming. Very different from now. And it's interesting how God uses this title, I am Lord is my shepherd, because for the Jews and those in the Middle East, sheep were part of their lives. They'd see them walking around. Now, because our idea of sheep is they're in a field with a gate and with a man with a whistle, whistling, and the dogs will run around, float around the border collies and bring the sheep to him. It's nothing like that in the Middle East, because the sheep are free. There are no boundaries. There are no fences. So the shepherd would walk with his sheep from one place to another place. And so when the Lord starts talking about, I am a shepherd, for the Jews at the time, it would make absolute sense. A shepherd would take the sheep to the right place with water, to the right grass so they would grow and be fed. The shepherd would actually defend them. And it's very interesting how different it is to our sheep, because if you've watched them, one man and his dog, the old, the old shepherd will whistle. And now, when I was a younger man, as an accountant, I've referred to earlier on, I did the accounts for an estate in Scotland. And Louise and I, with our son, was Richard three times, we went up there, I was in chairman, go up there, and it was in Perthshire. And I was fascinated, it was the lambing season. And this, Peter Doherty's not here, is he? Okay, it was this foul-mouthed Scottish man, not Peter, but the shepherd. And he had four working dogs, and I was really looking forward. I went down early one morning. He'd been out since 5 a.m, up on the mountainside to bring the sheep down with the lambs or the ewes, and they'd be injecting them and doing various things. And I watched him with his dogs. I was expecting the cool demeanour of a man whistling. He just hurled foul abuse at these dogs, shouted them with the odd whistle. The dogs would harry around and harry all these sheep to get him into the place. A lot of chasing around. It seemed quite chaotic to me to herd these 1,800 sheep. Whereas for the Jewish shepherd of the Middle Eastern, quite different. Imagine the scene. It's twilight. The shepherd has brought his sheep to feed at the water. And then another shepherd brings his flock. And the two flocks overnight intermingle. They didn't mark their sheep with different colours, reds and blues, so they knew it was each. And then in the morning, you've got this mass of hundreds of sheep. A flock would be a maximum of about 100, but say you had 150 sheep there. And they're all intertwined. The shepherd would stand to one side, and he would just speak. And his sheep would then come out of the main flock and walk with him. And I will demonstrate this later on to you, ladies and gentlemen, with sheep. With live sheep, we will talk to them, and you'll see how it works in practice, just to whet your appetite. But it's interesting that the shepherd was quite different. But of course, if you're out in the wilds, in there you'd have lions, you'd have bears. And David says this. This is when he was asked, he wanted to fight Goliath. And Saul says, well, you're just a mere boy. David says this. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. The shepherd's job was to protect the sheep and look after it. And he'd be fighting off bears and fighting off wolves and lions. Quite a different thing. It's a hard life. And being a shepherd in this country is actually, depending on where you live, is how hard it is. When I was in Scotland, they were up on the mountains, the biggest, highest mountain in Perthshire. And so this shepherd would go up the mountain and personally bring down each sheep with its lamb. When they'd done all the work on them, he'd put each lamb back with its sheep. And I said to him, this gruff Scotsman, how do you know which lamb goes with which sheep? He says, because I do. I worked in South Wales for 7 months. I would go on a Monday morning at 4:30, come home 9 o'clock on a Friday, and I stayed in the hotel. And in the hotel was a manager from Barclays Bank. And at the heads of the valley, he was working with the sheep farmers there. And he said to me, it's very hard here, because in the valleys when the snow comes, it's very hard. These men, these farmers are on virtually are poor, they're on poverty wages, they don't make any money, it's hard to live. And of course, where they are in the heads of the valley, same as it was where I was in Scotland, the sheep only have one lamb because it's such hard conditions. If you go to the lowlands in Scotland, they'll have twins, they'll have two lambs. But for these shepherds in where I was in Scotland and where these are in the Welsh borders, they would have single lambs. And because of the conditions, the shepherds would be out early in the morning, particularly to lambing, looking after, make sure they're cold, feeding them and protecting them. Because when the sheep get cold, they're more vulnerable to prey. Birds and, of course, animals. And you get an idea, if this is what a shepherd is, so when God uses the things, the Lord is my shepherd, he's trying to give you ideas of his character, of what it's like a visual aid. And what the people recognised then was, they needed a shepherd. Here the Jews are saying in Psalm 80, hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin and Manasseh, three of the tribes. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. And in another psalm it says, the Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. And so the people were identifying that the Lord is like a shepherd who cares for his sheep. I used to have a children's Bible when I was a child. And on the front page was a picture of a shepherd with a young lamb over its neck. I've never forgotten it. He had the lamb over its neck, protecting it. And here the people were crying out to God, we want you to be our shepherd. The one that would take us, as it says in Psalm 23, to the green pastures. Lead us to quiet waters. Be there for us. And God picks up the response in Ezekiel 34. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, well, he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And here's his people crying to God, we want you to be our shepherd. And here's God saying, I will be your shepherd. I will look after you and I will create a big flock. I will bring sheep from all over the world to create one big flock. And the thing about the Middle Eastern shepherd is he doesn't walk behind harrying the flock. He walks in front, as you know, leading the flock. Because, as I said earlier on, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We have to dog sit at home, but we would never have dogs when we had kids because we said we'll have to look after them. So what's the first thing our kids do when they move out? They all bought a dog. So over about a 7-day week, 6 days, we have various dogs coming to dog sit. And we've got Jay the Labrador. Jay knows that if he goes in the garden and does a wee at 9 o'clock, he will get a biscuit. But the problem, because he's guaranteed the biscuit, he messes around for an hour in the garden, lying down when it's raining and doing this, because he's going to get the biscuit anyway. And as soon as he comes in, we put a bed on the landing, and he gets another biscuit. And so last night, we say, to bed, Jay. He just sits downstairs, doesn't move until Louise says, got a biscuit. Then he's up the stairs like a bolt of lightning. He knows how it works. He knows where his food's going to be. He knows he's going to be walked. And from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he comes by me, harassing me to walk him. Far as he's concerned, it's time for a walk, because he knows how it works. And it's the same thing with the sheep. they begin to realise this shepherd looks after him. This shepherd will take them to the best grass. This shepherd will take them to the best water each night so they can feed and they can drink. This shepherd will protect them. This shepherd, when one gets lost, will go and search for him to bring him back. Because these shepherds know their shepherd so much that when he puts them in a set place like a small gathering of, say, four walls to lock them there, they know not to worry that the shepherd will come back. But the problem is, not everyone follows the shepherd. As it says in the Bible, in Psalm 49, this is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. And here's the psalmist saying, you know, if you don't choose to follow the Lord as your shepherd, then the inevitability is death. And death means separation from God. So in effect, death becomes your shepherd. It says here also in Jeremiah 12, many shepherds will ruin my vineyard, says God, and trample down my field. They will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be made a wasteland parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares. And here God talks about shepherds whose interest is not the sheep. It's not about the well-being of the sheep. It's not about the health of the sheep. It's purely for mercenary purposes. And all through the Old Testament, God refers to himself as a sheep on so many occasions. And now as you draw up to Christmas, it's time to put on table one of the prophecies about Jesus in Micah. And you know it so well. But you, Bethlehem, talking about where he was going to be born, the Messiah. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she is in labor. So God is saying, for the next few hundred years until my Messiah is born, you're not going to hear from me. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand, this Messiah, and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And the prophecy concerning Jesus is that he will be like the Lord himself and will be a shepherd. And yet there's that call goes out through the Bible time and time again in Jeremiah. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town, two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. And the likes of me and the elders here, we're like mini shepherds. Our idea is to lead you and guide you and protect you and look after you. The role in the Bible, I'm an elder, I could be a bishop, I can be a shepherd, I can be a pastor. The name has many, many variations, but of course it gives you a clue of what we're supposed to be doing. And this term shepherd gives you ideas of the loving character that God is. A part of his characteristic is one of care. And even Jesus says, when Jesus landed, he got out of a boat on the sea, saw a crowd, he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And Jesus came to be that shepherd, as we saw in Micah. And then you have one of the most glorious passages in the Bible in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Implication is, there is a good shepherd and a not so good shepherd. There's two types. But the good shepherd is the one after God's heart. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. Remember King David said to Saul, you know, when the lion or the bear come, I protect the sheep. I will take the sheep out of the lion's mouth. That's my job. I will kill. I will defend with the risk of my own life to protect my sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And this idea that there is only one flock, there is only one sheep. And as you've already seen in some of these scriptures, God refers to himself as a husband. He has lots of different titles to give you an idea. And it's interesting that Jesus was born at Bethlehem. And he talks about flock, because that was where they had the sheep that were bred specially, called the flock, that would go to Jerusalem as part of the Passover. And Jesus identifies with that. I'm going to turn to a scripture in the Bible which is most strange. I said to John, it's most weird because you just don't say this. It's in Revelation, and for those of you who know Revelation, easy book to understand. But it says this. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulations. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, this is heaven itself, never again will they thirst, the sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. Then it says this, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. From the Lamb at the centre of the throne, he will be their shepherd. Now, I understand in business, as I started my talk today, I can be promoted. I was promoted many times in various organisations up through the ranks with authority and to do work. But a lamb can only become a sheep. That's the way it works. He might become a ram or she might become a female sheep, a ewe. But here God says we have mixed roles. Jesus is not just the lamb who's come to be the sacrifice, like those lambs that come out of Bethlehem. He's also going to be the shepherd. And you start to see that these names and pictures that we have for God and Jesus and the Spirit give us different sides, because we recognise that the lamb is the sacrifice for you and I at the cross to have our sins forgiven. The blood of the lamb washes us free. But at the same time, Jesus is the good shepherd. I want to show you a video. Now, it needs the sound up quite high. We need to get all these lights off. If somebody could just flick the lights. Hold on. Okay. Are we there? Got lots of sound. I want to show you sheep being called. Thank you. They're ready to respond. I found one video in Australia, and there's about 1,000 sheep. And the shepherd said, "Hello," and all 1,000 sheep responded back, baaing to him. He kept asking questions, they kept talking back to him. It's quite interesting, that relationship between sheep. We think they're dumb animals. They may not necessarily be the brightest, but they realise they have to follow the shepherd. And of course, you are described as sheep, and looking round, you're perhaps not the brightest. So sometimes these things have to be said, and I appreciate. But where you differ to the average sheep, you know the shepherd. There's a story back in the Victorian times when you didn't have television. Photography was in black and white, usually done by a sketch artist. And so to have entertainment, you'd sit round after tea and do things. Tell a story, enact something. And so in this garden party, has it, they're sitting around, and so they say, "Let's all do something." So they say, "Well, you're an actor." So this actor gets up and he recites the 23rd Psalm in absolute, in all these acting skills, stunning, they said. And in the corner is a timid vicar. I said, "Come on, you come and do something." He said, no, I can't go. "Well, you can do the 23rd Psalm." And so this vicar stands up and does the 23rd Psalm. At the end of it, sits down. The actor turns to him and says, "I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd." And that's the difference. As I said, when I went to the Goldings old people's home, the people knew the psalm. They had learnt it as a child. They knew it off by heart. And we have a generation today that doesn't even know who Jesus is. And it's not whether you know the psalm, it's about whether you know the shepherd. And moreover, you know his voice. And when he says, "Go to the left" or "Go to the right," you follow. Because there are many shepherds around, as the Bible says, that want to lead the sheep to the wrong place. Even ourselves can be strong-willed. We choose where we go. And it says, in the end, the death is your shepherd. Bible says, where your heart is, therefore is. And it's where your heart is. As you saw there in that thing, did you watch the way, as he spoke, the heads were popping up. They could see him. And then they started to come as the call changed. He called them over. There was excitement of the sheep running over because they knew that's the way it works. And when the shepherd calls you, is there a sense of excitement? Is there a sense of awe and wonder? Where is he going to lead me to today? But of course, if you go to Israel and the Middle East, it's not quite the lush greenery of Suffolk or Wales or the parts of this country. It's quite barren. And you realise the importance of the shepherd to guide the sheep through those barren grasslands to where there's going to be grass. They might travel miles to go to a particular where there's water at that time of the year and particular grass because it would be moving with the seasons. But of course, during that process, they will go over places where there may not be any grass to eat for that particular day. The terrain might be particularly rough. It might be particularly hot. But the sheep know that their shepherd has their best interest in his heart and what he wants to do. And the challenge I want to say this morning is that you may be going through that wasteland for you, that wilderness where there doesn't seem to be any food or water to quench your parched thirst. But there are times when you're in those situations where you have to literally trust the voice of the shepherd, because he has your best interest at heart. I would encourage you to read the 23rd Psalm. There are books just written about the shepherd and all that it means. But it just talks about, let's go back to it, get there eventually. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." How often we feel insecure, not able.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And it seems such a beautiful, tranquil scene, written 3,000 years ago and just as real today. When you study what a shepherd does, you realise it brings out so many of the qualities of God himself. Who is better to describe God but him himself? When I describe myself, I just felt by some of your laughter, perhaps I was over-egging it. I know I'm bright and intelligent, but perhaps with my greying hair, not quite the looks I used to have. But when God describes himself, he's trying to help you understand more about his characteristics and qualities. So this week, when through your quiet time, or through a Christian colleague or friend, you think you're hearing God talking to your life, you have two choices. You follow the shepherd, or you don't. And I pray you will follow the shepherd. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the illustration you gave us of a shepherd. And all through your Bible, Lord, the shepherds just go on and on being talked about. And you use it as to help us understand who you are, what the temptations of the world. There are other shepherds that come in, and even death itself is like a shepherd. We follow it to the end. But you, Lord, are a giver of life. It talks about leading us to those quiet waters. And how often, Lord, do we need that quietness before you with all that's going on around us? To have confidence that you are taking our hand and leading us. But Lord, you don't have dogs biting at our feet. You don't have shouting going on. You quietly speak. And as we saw the sheep know the voice and follow and come. And I pray, Lord, we'll be in tune with your voice and know only the one shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Amen.